The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Bo Benson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, February 1st, and Tom Brady has officially retired. Yes, that's right. The second Tom Brady is retiring. Emergency podcast. Joining me to break down the career of Tom Brady and the no doubt controversial Instagram post with Tom Brady announcing his retirement. Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Will? I'm going through the stages of grief here. It's like it's cutting the wound when he left New England back open again. It's just, my God, it's actually finally here. Tom Brady actually retired. He's posted. It's crazy to actually think about.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I think we all sort of, I didn't believe it was happening. You know, the rumors started circulating even like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then we saw there were lots of shots of Tom Brady's family up in the booth. You started hearing that more people than normal were at the game for Tom Brady. It was weird that, and then, you know, he got, you know, I mean, beat down by the Rams and then storms back and you're thinking, oh my God, this guy just can't die. And then Jason Lockeford, credit to JLC. Can't say it enough. He had it Friday night and said that Tom Brady was going to take his time. Didn't want to take away from the championship games. And so this is exactly what, I mean, he did exactly what JLC said he would do.
Yeah, he absolutely crushed it. I mean, his report on Friday was he was going to take some time, and it was probably, he didn't want to overshadow the championship games, and it would probably be something, you know, it seemed like in the window of this week, right before, you know, after the championship games, right before the Super Bowl week, and lo and behold, Tuesday, it's actually come down official. So yeah, JLC absolutely not only nailed the news, but the timeline too was impeccable by JLC.
Yeah, and obviously, we talked about this on Saturday as well, but, you know, it wasn't, there were some soft denials, I guess you could call them. But certainly, you know, I mean, I thought at the time, it's like, oh my God, if this is not true and Tom Brady has not decided to retire, which clearly he had decided by Saturday, you know, I think he had decided, he just wanted to do it his own way. If Tom Brady had not retired, does he just come back for a spite store and just light everything on fire? I think that part of it probably has to do with the fact that Brady sort of sees the way that things went down at the end of 2021. You know, the Buccaneers were a very good team. I mean, they won the division easily, the number two seed in the NFC. Could have, I think, had the 40, ironically, the 49ers, Tom Brady's favorite team growing up, had the 49ers not beaten the Cowboys, the Bucs would have drawn Dallas, and the Rams would have gone to Green Bay. And I think it's possible that Brady would have gotten a Dallas-Green Bay matchup. And I think he could have come out of that, you know, going to the Super Bowl. And maybe that changes everything where he wins another one and he decides, I don't want to retire. Or he goes, do you think if he'd won the Super Bowl this year that he would have walked away?
Yeah, I think that that's probably true. I think that if he had won back to back, you get to eight. I mean, you know, I don't know if there's much to prove there. You can walk away very similar to Elway, very similar to Manning. I mean, that is the tip of the iceberg here. To me, I actually look at it a little bit differently. I think that if he, you know, the path and you can look at how this season transpired, I almost wonder if he wasn't contractually linked to the Buccaneers for 2022, if we'd be having this conversation. If he was actually, you know,
because his contract voids, right?
I believe he's still good for this year. And that, didn't he do an extension? Am I right? He did an extension last year that reworked money. And then I think he would be under contract for next year.
That's what I was thinking too, that he had one more year left on his deal, but somebody was saying that maybe it voids out.
Well, there's void years that when they reworked money, but I think that goes into like,
I mean, if you look at like, I haven't seen his actual contract. So, but I mean, you look at Spotrac, it's listed or over the cap, it's listed as under contract for 2022. So yeah, I mean, I think, so what you think if he hadn't been tied to the Bucks for 2022?
I think it changes his calculus a little bit. I think that he would look around the landscape and say, because the Buccaneers, I mean, I think we look at it right now and say that this team has a lot of free agents, a lot of guys that, you know, again, they brought the band back together to try to repeat, but it was tough.
It just went in the cards. Yeah.
It's tough to keep that going forward. And I almost wonder if it was another one of those, hey, let's look around the league. Let's look at maybe a San Francisco. Let's look at a Tennessee, two teams that he was reportedly interested in during his first free agent cycle. And if they're ready-made to do something very similar to what Tampa Bay was able to do in 2020, maybe does he think about making that final move? Specifically San Francisco, for me at least. You know, if Trey Lance isn't ready, Jimmy Garoppolo's gone, they have a roster ready to go, you can end your career at the team you rooted for as a child.
And you have a good look at a Super Bowl, too, by joining that roster.
That would have made a lot of sense to me. But other than that, you know, it's too tied. It's too complicated, I think, financially and contractually with the Buccaneers. And I don't think that they're going to be that good next year. I think they've, you know, already missed that Super Bowl window.
I think you can make the case, too, that, like, as he's going down the stretch – and he, you know, Antonio Brown goes off the reservation. Yeah. Chris Godwin tears his ACL. So Brown's not coming back. You don't know what the deal with Godwin's going to be. I mean, it's just a, you know, rehab timeline. And Mike Evans is freaking awesome. You don't know if Gronk's coming back or wants one more rodeo. You know, you could fight. Let's say Mike Evans gets hurt in the offseason, and all of a sudden you're throwing to Tyler Johnson and, you know, Scotty Miller, who are really nice players, but you know, that's not going to be the high octane offense that you need. Again, they have a lot of free agents. Ryan Jensen, the center, is one. So it's, you would be asking a lot of people to sacrifice, you know, potential financial, you know, benefits to come back and be with you. You'd have to, the Bucs have to figure it out. I will say that the Buccaneers, and also, Sully, it's like this too. You know, sometimes, well, I mean, you're not married, so you don't, so this doesn't apply to you technically, but like, if I say I'm going to go have a beer on a Friday afternoon and I'm going to go have a beer with some friends, there's a window where I'm fine having, you know, I can have two or three beers. If I stick around for that one extra beer, depending on the time, I'm going to make my wife mad. And at what cost? Like, what's the benefit of that extra beer? You know what I mean? And I sort of look at it like this with Tom Brady. He has already asked his wife and his family to push this back as far as possible. If he looked at the Bucs and he looked at 2022 and thought, man, this is a Super Bowl window, I can go out on top, you know, maybe it's worth it to push it one more year with Giselle. But you look at it and say, oh, God, put everything into another season. You know, I can walk away with, you know, no one is ever going to question anything. I don't know. It's like, just again, like, just stay in for that extra. Is the juice worth the squeeze to stay for that extra season? And I think ultimately that's probably what it came down to. He can walk away happy, healthy, with an undeniable legacy. No one's even saying like, oh man, what if you just gone out the year before on top? It's like, well, whatever, dude, you led the league in passing at 44.
I was just going to say, he, even though he did not win a Super Bowl in his last year, led the league in passing, had, you know, unbelievable statistical season that is going to have him probably second place for the MVP award. I mean, that's pretty good for a 44-year-old. And like you said there too, it is interesting, you know, you don't want to get too greedy, because not only do you want to, not make your wife pissed, you know, obviously, yeah. you don't want to do that, but you're also running the risk of it falling apart. I mean, you don't know.
I was just about to say, the Tom Brady led the league in passing touchdowns, passing yards, but also in passing attempts at 719, which is an insane number and a career high for him. His previous career high, Sully, was 637 way back in 2012 when he was a young 35 years old. You know, I've anecdotally speaking, when guys have that much mileage in a single year on their arm, sometimes you see a drop off there. And to your point, that may be what he's worried about.
And so, you know, you're going out on a statistical high and you're not having that Peyton Manning final year in Denver, that Ben Roethlisberger season we saw this year, even that Drew Brees season we saw last year. It's a completely impeccable end of his career in terms of his statistical standpoint. And also, it's good for business because he's going to be 45 years old if he played next year. I mean, I know he's like an alien and a robot, but he's still a 45-year-old man. He could get hurt. And all of a sudden, if Tom Brady's career ends on some sort of an Achilles injury or something that's like devastating that you really can't come back from, that's a kind of a hit to the TB12 brand and what they've been doing with Alex Guerrero. So now that you could say, hey, listen, we made it to 45. It was time to go home. You know, I made it to 44. I wanted to go to 45, but it just wasn't in the cards. But we were still unbelievably slaughtering father time, and our system works. You could still say that now. And if you never know what can happen in a 45 season.
And, you know, again, Ryan Jensen, a free agent, Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle. Yeah. I mean, I think we expect him to probably be back for the start of the season, but maybe not. And if you're missing Jensen and Wirfs, that becomes a whole different calculus in terms of what you can expect protection-wise. He's had one of the best offensive lines in the league really for his entire career. I mean, there's maybe like 1 year when Dante Scarnecchia retired briefly, and then they had to drag him back out because the offensive line wasn't good enough in New England. All right, let's talk about the Instagram post itself, because this is generating a lot of interest. We're asking about it. Jenny Dell asked us all about it on CBS Sports HQ as we were doing hits. I liked Scott Pioli's response. He's like, I'm not getting into that. Like, he's like, people are always looking for something to pull Tom Brady down. Tom Brady on his Instagram post wrote it's a lengthy Instagram post. So he's got the picture. And if you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. And if you are watching on YouTube, by the way, smash that like button. He wrote, I've always believed that sport of football is an all-in proposition. You got to have 100% commitment. And he's not wrong. If you're playing the NFL and you're wavering on whether or not you want to play, it's going to affect how you play. Yeah. And it's going to affect – and the craziest quote I heard from him, and I'll get back to the IG post, but I want to point this out, was the one that they posted on NBC during that Buccaneers-Rams game. And Tom Brady told the NBC crew during their production meetings that sometimes you can't always go out on top, and maybe it's not this year. And it's like, what? Did you just suggest that you might lose today? Like, you know you might lose? That's wild, bro. I mean, that's not the Tom Brady thing. So if you're wavering at all on whether or not you want to be in the NFL, then it's probably time to walk away. So credit to him for doing that. And he said, this is difficult for me to write, but here it goes. I'm not going to make that competitive commitment anymore. He also goes on to thank, and Debo, you can scroll. Let's see. He thanks. One more. To my Bucks teammates the past 2 years, I love you guys. You know, full paragraph for Bucks teammates. On the next page, he thanks to all the Bucks fans, a full paragraph. To the city of Tampa and the entire region, thank you. To the Glazer family, thanks the owners of the Bucks. He also, on the next page, thanks Jason Light, the GM. He thanks Bruce Arians. Thanks for putting up with me, Bruce. Interesting. Thanks all the Bucks coaches. Thanks all the Bucks staffer and employee. Thanks Alex Guerrero. Thanks his agents, Donnie and Steve Dubin. I think Dubin's still the agent, right? And then he thanks his parents and his entire family. And lastly, to my wife, Giselle, and my children, Jack, Benny, and Aviv. Vivi, you are my inspiration. The people he didn't thank that are upset about it, I mean, and real upset about it, Patriots fans. You pointed out on HQ that the picture of Tom Brady is from where?
It is from earlier this season. And, of course, you could pick any photo that you would want from Tom Brady's career. I mean, the guy's played for 22 years.
You've only beaten the Patriots once. There's only, like, a small set of photos there to use.
And, of course, that's where the photo is from. It's from that earlier game this season when he was in Foxborough playing the Patriots. That is Brady at Gillette Stadium. It's tough to see, but, you know, the minds of Twitter have identified it. It is at the Gillette Stadium. It was at that game where he was able to beat the Patriots. So, you know, you almost think that, you know, yes, the statement, he's saying goodbye to Tampa. He's ending his career. You know, he already did the goodbye to the Patriots when he left them in free agency. He already had that. But when you look at the picture and you kind of, Tom Brady's a very calculated guy.
Without the picture, I wouldn't be, I think it's ridiculous that Patriots fans are making it about them. It's like, you're supposed to like be happy for Tom Brady. You know, he thanked you. He was never coming back to New England. You know, I know people, I know it's been sort of twisted that Tom Brady left New England. I do think Belichick sort of chased him off. Right. And there was just the timing for this. It was a split, not like Tom's like, peace, I'm out. Like, suck it, New England. I don't know what he could have done to make Patriots fans happy in that post, because if he thanks them after he thanks everyone from Tampa, are they still mad? Do they have to be included first because Tom Brady is considered a Patriot? If he thanks the Patriots fans and the Patriots organization, but not Robert Kraft, how does Robert Kraft feel? Because the Glazers got thanked. If he thanks the Pats and Pats fans and Robert Kraft and not Bill Belichick, how does Belichick feel? Does he have to thank Josh McDaniels, Charlie? I mean, like, at a certain point, you can't thank every single person from the Patriots while also thanking everybody from the Bucks. I mean, simply based on how much room there is on the platform of Instagram.
Right. But I also do think, I mean, that, but we're also talking about an extremely long post. It's not like he was like, peace out, I'm out of here. Right. And you're like, okay, in the spirit of brevity, he's just like going off into the night. It was pretty, he was going down to everybody. He was going down to the cafeteria people at the Buccaneers facility. I mean, it was pretty intense about who he was thanking. So I could see why Patriots fans are a little miffed. Why, hey, listen, you spent 20 years in New England. You've made your career as a member of the Patriots. It doesn't have to be a swan song like you saw when he first left in free agency, but can it be had great 20 years in New England, good 2 years in Tampa Bay, and I'm officially walking away. Just a subtle, I think people were looking for a subtle nod to the, tip of the cap.
Any sort of nod. And then you could also make the case, and not that like Patriots fans care what Buccaneers fans think, but if you're a Buccaneers fan, or do you feel you're like, hey, like, what? Like, does he put put the Patriots fans first and you're sort of disrespecting the.
Right. I don't even know if it has to be like a who comes first or anything like that. I think it would have been just anything. Like, if you just say, hey, listen, great. Obviously you have to thank the Buccaneers because that's the team that you just played for 2 years. You have to, play the game there. But at the end, when I still feel like there was some room somewhere to say, had a great, obviously 20 years in New England. And that's pretty much, I think, anybody would be fine with. And honestly, too, if he had just posted like a picture of him at, with the Buccaneers and then one slide of him as a young kid with the Patriots, I think that would have been fine. He maybe not even had to have mentioned the Patriots. You could have just threw a picture of the year 2000 when you're in, training camp and nobody even knows your name.
He didn't want to post a picture of him looking all old and stuff. I did see the Patriots tweeted, thank you, Tom. And included a boat with Tom Brady sailing off into the sunset that included 7 Super Bowls, which I thought was a little interesting.
Yeah, I hated that.
See, there you go. Pastor's like, don't include that Bucks Super Bowl in there. This is garbage, Tommy. I don't know. There's probably like 3 or 4 fan bases that would be outraged by this lack of inclusion, and it's the Patriots. And there's, you can see this on youtube.com/pick6 YouTube. We go live. We sure will be live. We got a bunch more coaching hires to do live too. So make sure and hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell too. You'll get alerts when we go live. As you can see, the 7 Super Bowls in there. I'm trying to see if there's like any sort of placement that we should take from this.
I was trying to do the same thing. I was even reading the license plate. I'm like,
what's up with the rubber ducky? That couldn't have been. I mean, I guess you can't put if the Pats had put Buccaneers logo on that boat too.
Well, it's a duck. It's a duck boat.
Would be outraged.
It's supposedly a duck boat. Oh yes. If there was a Buccaneers logo, I think people would freak out. But I think what that is a duck boat. What they drive for the championship parades around Boston. Sure. So that's what it is. But yeah, I mean, I think that most Patriots fans are just territorial. Brady's supposed to be our guy. He was here for 20 years, and
Tom Brady is a Patriot. Like nobody at the end of the day is gonna be like, oh, Tom Brady. Yeah,
We've even seen this even before this official announcement. When I saw on and this doesn't really bother me that much, if you've seen like people like doing the mesh jerseys where it's like half Buccaneers, half Patriots, and people are like, there's more Buccaneers than there are Patriots. I'm like, all right, that we can relax on. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. I don't need that stress. But I can understand, and it's interesting because I'm trying to think of another figure that you can kind of make this with. I mean, maybe I don't know how Indianapolis Colts fans feel about Peyton and his relationship.
I think you're pretty territorial. And it was sort of the same thing, because remember, like, Peyton Manning was cut by the Colts, was released by the Colts, and they tried to frame it up in this big, happy, you know, fun time departure. Like, and as we talked about, nobody blames the Colts for going with Andrew Luck. Ultimately, they made the wrong decision, because Manning won the Super Bowl, Colts didn't, and was put up monster numbers there in Denver. But yeah, I think those fan bases are just a little less intense. And abrasive.
That's true. Right?
I mean, like, a little more, you know, Midwest. Like, you know, Buccaneers fans aren't like, no, F you, Pats, he's ours, you know? I mean, and Broncos fans aren't like, screw y'all, Peyton's ours. I mean, and Peyton was there a little bit longer, but I think that's a similar. Debo, do you have, is there somebody like AJ Feely from the
Eagles? No, I was just going to go cross sport. And it's like, you know, if Jordan was actually good on the Wizards, I feel like Chicago would feel some type of way, but he wasn't competing for titles or even the playoffs at that point.
Sad at that point.
He was an all-star caliber player, but yeah, Bulls fans weren't like, oh, Wizards fans are claiming our guy now. Brady won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think Brady winning the Super Bowl, you know, it was a weird year too. It was 2020. So it's like, almost a surreal dream, but I think Brady winning the Super Bowl for Tampa Bay probably causes Pats fans to be even a little more territorial, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we don't think of Joe Montana with the Kansas City Chiefs. He went to an AFC championship, right? But like, he didn't win a Super
Never
Bowl.
Never won a Super Bowl, right.
So it's, you know, it's not the same. He's not hoisting a Lombardi. He's not the pinnacle of the sport. And so when you're reminding of the greatness of Joe Montana, it's all with the San Francisco 49ers, and you throw in that little cliff note about the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Buccaneers are a huge part to Tom Brady's story. It's the exclamation point of his career. He left the team that he had won 6 Super Bowls with. He won a Super
Immediately
Bowl.
Immediately won team. A Super Bowl.
Away from Belichick, away from all the debate of who is it, who isn't it. And then in his final year, he led the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns. I mean, it is an exclamation point to his career that It's not something that you just say, oh yeah, he joined the Buccaneers. That was like a Wizards. He was on the Wizards. No,
yeah,
he went and was unbelievable with them. So that it takes on a little bit more than just a 2-year stint. It was really an exclamation point. It's the best way I mean, feel I guess
Favre, Favre is maybe a close comp too that we didn't mention. You know, I mean, traded to the Jets, ends up going to Minnesota and just spiting the Packers and nearly won a Super Bowl, but didn't. I mean, I think if Favre had won a title with the Vikings, it would be a very different, It would have taken a little bit longer for Packers fans to get over it, particularly if, I guess he wouldn't have won it. He would have won it before Rodgers. But yeah, I mean, like if he won it in 2009, I mean, I think, you know, it would be a tough scene for Packers fans.
And it is weird too, because it's a weird tug of war that I think New Englanders play or Patriots fans play. Because I would say probably 75% of them, 80%, maybe even 90%, were rooting for him last year in the Super Bowl. It's not like we were, you know, folks were saying, oh, I don't want him to do well in Tampa Bay so it further props up his legacy with New England. I think that they still wanted him to win. You know, I would certainly, you know.
Yeah, I think Pat's fans are rooting for him.
And so it is interesting how, you know, that you're rooting for him, but also that elevates his tenure with that team too.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little more. Maybe we'll just talk about Tom Brady's legacy and whether or not he'll be in the Hall of Fame next.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
5 years from now, Tom Brady will be eligible to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame, the 2027 class. suffice to say, he will get in. And it was, I think what's interesting, I mean, look, he's getting in. So Tom Brady, 7-time Super Bowl champion, most of all time, 5-time Super Bowl MVP, most of all time, 3-time NFL MVP, 2-time NFL Offensive Player of the Year, doubled up on MVP and OPOY twice. Actually won the 2009 NFL Comeback Player of the Year after his ACL. 3-time. This is kind of shocking that he's only a 3-time first team All-Pro. A little weird. 3-time second team All-Pro, 15-time Pro Bowler, 5-time NFL passing touchdown leader, including the final year of his career. So he led the league in passing touchdowns in 2002 and 2021. There's like a legal, you're a legal adult in between there, which is just insane. Led the league in passer rating twice. Led the league in completion percentage twice. Was a member of the 2000s All-Decade team and also a unanimous member of the 2010 All-Decade team. Will almost certainly get on the 2020 All-Decade team? Maybe not.
It would have to be a really down year, but with the quarterbacks that we're about to,
I think Mahomes. Yeah, that'd
Mahomes,
be
Allen, Burrow, even.
Yeah, over the
Herbert.
Next,
I mean, it's, that'll be
years.
Tough.
Yeah, that'll probably won't get on there. I guess technically it was a national champion in college in 1997. Is that right? I forgot about that. No way we're talking about that. Listed as, I guess Michigan was the top ranked team. Huh. That sort of flies under the radar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Because it wasn't, I feel like we were talking about Joe Burrow, pulling that feat off.
But Burrow's the only guy to win the Heisman, too. Because Brady.
Okay.
Yeah. Holds the records for most career wins, most career passing attempts, most career passing completions, most career passing touchdowns, most career passing yards, most pass completions in a season. The longest touchdown pass, 99 yards, tied with many other people.
Lost a fantasy football game on that touchdown. Wes Welker in Miami, Monday Night Football. That was terrible. Yeah. It was terrible. I lost fantasy football week, though.
It's crazy that it's like his 99-yard touchdown passes to Wes Welker and not Randy Moss.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, retires it. It was a 6th-round pick, 199th overall. Everyone knows the story. 20, how many years of the Patriots? 20 or 19 years of the Patriots and then 2 years of the Bucks?
20 years of the Patriots, 19 20. As a starter.
Yeah, and that's right. 20 years of the Pats, 19 as a starter, 2 years with the Buccaneers, a Super Bowl, six Super Bowls with the Pats, one with the Bucs, and as somebody puts out, Brady was not the starter for that national championship team. So that's why it flies under the radar. But he did technically win a title. All right. So what for you as a Pats fan growing up? What's the one memory I don't know. Sum up the experience of growing up with Tom Brady.
I mean, it's just I did grow up with Tom Brady. I mean, it's unbelievable where you say, I was in third grade. My mom pulled me out of school to go to the 2001 Super Bowl championship parade.
Wild. I was like a sophomore in college or junior in college.
So she pulls me out, and I'm there with all these drunk people. They're all screaming and stuff. And I'm barely understanding like what's going on. Obviously a huge Patriots fan, but and now you fast forward, and at the end of his career, I'm now covering the NFL, and largely because
Tom Brady. By the way, it should be pointed out that was the Patriots' first ever Super Bowl championship.
Yeah.
Like Tom Brady brought them their – Belichick brought them their first ever championship.
It was the first for Boston since probably the 80s with the Celtics. So, I think it was probably the first since since 1986 with the Celtics. So
sure. Bill Simmons built his Boston – sports, like that was part of the thing. It's like Boston people are desperate, rabid for a title, and we're dealing with bad teams all over the place.
I mean, Boston was terrible in the 90s. I mean, the Patriots did go to a Super Bowl, but they were, Loserville. I mean, there was a legitimate, I think Boston Globe front page calling it Loserville, and Bill Belichick's one of the coaches that is on there, which is hilarious to see in retrospect. But you go from that to what it is now, it's just unbelievable. And I think, you can even look at it from 7 years ago today when Tom Brady announced his retirement was Super Bowl 49. And the narratives going into that Super Bowl, the Patriots had lost two Super Bowls to the Giants. They hadn't won a Super Bowl since 2004. They drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. You're wondering, is this the end for Tom Brady? Is this the end of this run? If they can't win this Super Bowl against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, Does Bill Belichick decide to blow it up? Does it change the landscape of the Patriots? And do they roll with Jimmy Garoppolo? They end up winning it with a Brady's unbelievable fourth quarter, obviously the Malcolm Butler interception, and it sparks up a second wave of Super Bowls for Tom Brady. He wins four of them, three with the New England Patriots. And it just completely, you know, that's a Hall of Fame career in just that seven seasons. And so it is the waves that they were able to go through with Brady, whether it was obviously with the Patriots early in the 2000s, even that drought when they were going undefeated, going to Super Bowls, putting up statistical, just unbelievable seasons. It is pretty remarkable what we just saw. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, that actually happened. We got to live during the greatest football players era.
So the Pats won, of course, in his first season as starter, won the Super Bowl, beat the Rams, the greatest show on turf, basically derailed their budding dynasty. They took out the Panthers, and 2 years later, they missed the playoffs the following year after winning the first Super Bowl, which is wild to think about. They beat the Panthers in 2003, and then beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl in 2004, the famous Donovan McNabb puking all over himself game, which would be a lot more painful if the Eagles hadn't beaten Brady later down the road. So Tom Brady, I think it's started 9-0 in the playoffs. He didn't lose a playoff game for the first 3 years that he went to the playoffs. They won the first three Super Bowls. I mean, I remember at the time, it's like, is this possible? You know, it's just like, this is impossible. What if this guy never loses a playoff game? And you're right that you can, in HQ, I think was the first one to do it, but you can always divide up, and Debo, you might have the graphic. We can divide up his career into three separate parts, and all three parts are Hall of Fame careers. He was that good. But you mentioned something on HQ earlier, Sully, that I thought was interesting, but because I agree with it completely, and I think we should expand on a little bit. The Patriots, after winning that third Super Bowl, the Spygate thing happened in 2007, right as they were building out this team with Randy Moss and Wes Welker and reinventing the offense with the idea that Tom Brady was going to be no longer this sort of game manager with pretty good stats. And he'd already had, you know, he led the league in passing touchdowns. He'd already developed into a really good quarterback. But they unleashed this offense in 2007 with Randy Moss bombing the ball over the place to Moss, running up, and the Spygate stuff caused him to run up the score on everybody. I don't remember how much you remember. I mean, you're probably in what, like seventh grade or something like that? Or no, I guess, yeah.
2007.
Oh, you're probably in like 10th grade. Yeah, you were in high school. So, I mean, I'm sure you have vivid memories of the sportsmanship discussions, because that was all people were like, oh, the Pats, should the Pats be fined for their, you know, behavior? It was just like insane stuff in the sense that it was all anybody talked about for months was whether the Pats were bad sports for running up the score on other teams. And it was just a hot take discussion constantly. They lose that Super Bowl to the Giants, of course. And then they don't go back to the Super Bowl because Tom Brady tears his ACL. They don't go back to the Super Bowl until 2011, at which point they also lose to the Giants. And so fast forward to February 1st, 2015, exactly 7 years ago today, and the Patriots are finally back in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks. There was, and we talked about this on Saturday, I think, but there was leading into this game, this legitimate sense that, man, the Patriots haven't won a Super Bowl since the Spygate thing.
And Deflategate was just starting to bubble up.
Oh, God, that's right. It was the Deflategate Super Bowl. Yeah, it was just starting to bubble up. That's right, because the buzz had been building on that too. And that they had, because they had beaten Indianapolis in the AFC Championship game, because Indy had knocked off Peyton, right? I think Andrew Luck knocked off Manning in Denver.
I think so, yeah.
And then the Pats blew out the Colts in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, and was off the Ravens game. It was from the Ravens to the Colts, then to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the Ravens game was the illegal formation game?
Yeah, you got to check the rule book game. And so a lot of people think that that's where it, you know, started Deflategate, where the Ravens picked off the Colts.
Yeah, Harbaugh
and
called.
And that's how that started.
Yeah, that's right. So everyone is back being pissed at the Patriots again. But I was at that Super Bowl in Arizona. There was a legitimate sort of feeling like, man, you know, the Seahawks are this elite defense. They just thrashed the Broncos in the Super Bowl. And the Patriots haven't won one since 2004. Obviously, Tom Brady is still slam dunk Hall of Famer, incredible career. But, like, what happens if they don't win? You know, if they don't beat the Seahawks on that Malcolm Butler interception, is it possible that we see the Seahawks stick together? They win two. The Legion of Boom comes back. There's none of that dissension there. And maybe the Patriots are like, this just isn't working anymore for whatever reason. I mean, is that a what if that exists, do you think?
Totally, 100%. I mean, again, like I said, they had Garoppolo on the roster. It was a guy that they handpicked in the second round, the highest they've ever taken a quarterback prior to Mac Jones coming to town. That was going to be the guy. That was who Belichick wanted to ascend to be the starter post Brady, whenever that was going to be. And if all of a sudden you lose that Super Bowl, you really have to start asking those questions. And another thing there too is, a narrative for that Super Bowl is, we were talking about Brady as an all-time great first ballot Hall of Famer, but right there is when he started to say, okay, now he's on the level with Joe Montana. We're talking, it's his fourth Super Bowl.
Yep.
He's starting to ascend, and then he just like blew right past him after all those other championships. But prior to that, I mean, he was just considered among the greatest quarterbacks that have been around, in the Elways and the Marinos and the Mannings and all of that. But this latest run from 7 years ago to now is when he separated himself to be considered, the greatest of all time, which is, again, a remarkable feat.
Yeah. And it probably rejuvenated, how Brady felt about, I don't know how Brady and the Pats felt. It's like, all right, well, you won. It's sort of like last year, Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl with the Bucks. Maybe he thinks, if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, does he think about walking away? Cause I do think it, I think you hear this refrain over and over again that while it's awesome to go out on top, it's really hard to go out on top because you have to be willing to walk away knowing you just won the Super Bowl and thinking maybe we can win another one. So I think I think it would be hard for Tom Brady to walk, like, all of a sudden it's like, all right, maybe we're going to end this thing in New England. And now it's like, well, no, we got to run this thing back.
Well, I can give you a great example of how Super Bowls change the mindset. Brady himself said in the Man in the Arena, the 2007 one, that first loss to the Giants in the perfect season, he said himself, if I had won that game and we had gone undefeated, I don't know if I would have that same motivation to play until I'm in my late 40s or anything. Sure. I've gone 4-0 in the Super Bowls, and the last one was a undefeated 19-0 perfect season at that point. He said himself, I don't know if I would have that same motivation to keep going, to keep pushing, because I've already accomplished so much. And so the fact that he had lost that one, it changed his focus. And obviously the next year he tears his ACL, meets Alex Guerrero, and he kind of takes on that new, TB12 method.
So mantra. He met Alex Guerrero when he was doing the rehab for the ACL.
Yeah. Willie McGinnis introduced him.
Mm. And I mean, that changed how, like, what if he's just regular old Tom Brady with no special TB12 methods and whatnot? I mean, it changes how he tries to build his brand. It changes how he plays. I mean, the idea that Tom Brady tears his ACL now is like, what? Tom Brady couldn't tear his ACL. I mean, he's like super flexible. And, if he doesn't change the diet and change the routine, maybe he isn't playing until he's definitely not playing until he's 44,
Right.
And then the following year after they beat the Seahawks, they lose to the Broncos in the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. Crazy Von Miller game. And then, of course, Von Miller goes nuts on the Panthers, and the Broncos win the Super Bowl. Peyton gets that second Super Bowl. And then the following year after that was the comeback against the Falcons, which I think probably same sort of thing, right? Maybe he loses to the Falcons and is like, that was tough, man. They got the better of us, and they move on to Jimmy G, because Jimmy G was still on the team then, right?
I think so. I think the Eagles season was when they lost to the Eagles that following year, I think, is when they traded him.
Oh yeah, because the first four games of the season against that year were
true.
So Jimmy G and Jacoby Brissett filled in for Brady. And then so you have this incredible comeback against the Falcons, and again, how does that not rejuvenate, or how does that not instill in you this sense, like, I can still win more? Yeah. I want to keep winning. So the next year, freaking back in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then, of course, he gets the one more with against the Rams, which all these games really close, could have gone either way. Tom Brady could be, I think he could be at worst, maybe like, not counting the Bucks, he could have been like 1-5 with the Patriots in the Super Bowl in theory, but also could have been 7-0,
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those all of those games were helmet catch, curse Malcolm Butler.
He was 6-3 with the, so he could be 1-8.
He was 6-3 with the Patriots. Yeah, absolutely.
Could be one and eight. Could also be 9-0. I mean, that wouldn't be crazy at all. You know.
I mean, you know, as much as you say like, you know, he's a Malcolm Butler, not interception away from losing that Super Bowl. You could go to those Giants ones and say, all right, Manningham catch, David Tyree. Sure. You can make all those arguments. And so it is crazy to see how those games flipped and how close that they were. There was never really a Super Bowl that was
the Eagles one. The first Eagles one is the only one that was like
close, you know, it was enough of a blowout that you felt comfortable, but also it was not like it was like, you know, it was Super Bowl 50, right? Was that the one where they, the Seahawks Broncos one where they absolutely shelled them.
Yeah. There was never anything like that. Right. But yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, the most, and even like 13-3 against the Rams, I mean, that game was really, really close. Yeah. Until the very end. So, yeah, it's all these sort of events and getting lucky. I mean, just the way that his career in New England lasted longer than maybe it could have just because of some good breaks and some bad breaks. You know, it's kind of wild to see how it's intertwined.
Well, I think that one of the more underrated things, and this is going back a long way, right to the start of it. One of the more underrated things about Brady and just how he became Tom Brady, and I don't, you know, we often say like, we'll never see Tom Brady again. We'll never see somebody do this again. You know, you never know, you know, Patrick Mahomes can go off.
You're not going to see it again.
The one thing that I don't think you'll ever see again, and what I'm getting at is Drew Bledsoe was given $100 million contract. He was the first $100 million quarterback in the NFL, highest paid, record breaking. And the next year, they just let Tom Brady take over. And it's just, he is the guy. It is all set. The wheels are moving and they just move off of him. I don't know if a franchise will ever do that again. I don't know if they, you know, if they gave Patrick Mahomes a $250 million contract and all of a sudden the next year, this guy comes in Nick Foles style and wins a Super Bowl. And you're like, well, actually we're just going to stick with that guy. I just don't know if franchise will ever do that ever again.
Yeah, I think it'd be very unlikely.
It's a weird kind of underrated thing that happened where it's just they moved on from a guy that they gave generational record-setting NFL money to. And I don't think with the way these prices are going with these quarterbacks, that'll ever happen again.
No, very, very unlikely. Worth pointing out, like even Patrick Mahomes, and I saw that somebody, I was going to mention this anyway, so shout out to Serge for tossing the chat as well. But like Patrick Mahomes has been a starter for 4 years. He's hosted 4 AFC Championship games. He has 1 Super Bowl win. I'm not saying I'm not like criticizing him for it. I think Chiefs fans are thrilled that they have 1 Super Bowl win and they've been to 2 Super Bowls. It's just, the point is it's really hard to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. And so even if Mahomes plays, I mean, 15 more years, which is, you know, these guys, most quarterbacks, like the career length of quarterbacks is definitely extended past what it was 15, 20 years ago. That's just, but I mean, like, so is the lifespan of most, you know, humans. I mean, like, you know, people are just living longer. Medicine is better, et cetera, et cetera. So you're going to be able to play longer. But, you know, I do think that it's asking a lot for a quarterback to play 20, you know, into their 40s. I mean, it's just not going to happen with everybody. Look at Philip Rivers walking away, Big Ben walking away, Aaron Rodgers contemplating retirement. You know, it's, you're just not going to have, you're not going to see very many quarterbacks, you know, rip off several Super Bowls to start their career and then have this extended second run where you're ripping off another set of Super Bowls. It's just going to be hard to do because you're asking a head coach to go along with you most of the time.
One of those things too, with Mahomes is a great example. And, you know, you can link it to Brady. He's been to 4 AFC championships in his first 4 years. Brady was in the Super Bowl for, you know, 3 times in his first 4 years. And then after that, it was a decade where he was unable to win a championship. You kind of got to make those count when you get there. When you get to those AFC championship games, when you get to the Super Bowl, you have to cash in when you're talking about trying to contend with a Brady to get to that all-time status. And, you know, it's not easy. I mean, you're talking about a Chiefs Super Bowl championship a few years ago, which required them to come back from a 24-0 deficit in the divisional round against the Houston Texans. I mean, a lot of crazy things need to happen in order to hoist that Lombardi trophy. It's not like you just waltz in it every year, even though, you know, sometimes Brady made it seem that way. But
well, and the other thing too is that the Patriots during their run, and people, I mean, people try to discredit Tom Brady and Bill Belichick because they had the AFC East and it made life easier, and they beat up on the, you know, the tomato cans. What is it?
Shaughnessy says that.
Shaughnessy, the tomato cans in the AFC East, you know, the Jets and the Bills. And look, the Jets and Bills and Dolphins were really bad for a long time. But credit to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick for, and they have, you know, not bad ownership across the board, but generally speaking, bad decision-making, largely in part because they're trying to play catch-up with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That gave them an advantage because you look at these Super Bowls, very often it was getting that first round bye. Mm-hmm. And in the old playoff format, two teams had a first round bye. Now it's just one. That's going to make it, having just one team is going to make it infinitely harder to get that first round bye for even somebody like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. We saw how difficult it was, and neither of them got it this year. Like, you have these two elite guys.
You're adding a 17th game. And when you're talking about quarterbacks trying to do what Tom Brady did, you're talking, like you said, like 15 more years for Patrick Mahomes. So if you say 15 more years and you add that 17th game, that's almost another full season of abuse that you got to put on when you add that extra game, which is no small thing. I mean, Brady's a pocket passer, doesn't run around. Mahomes does move around a little bit. We've already seen it a couple of times where he's gotten injured. You know, he's the closest, you know, I think everybody assumes that he's the guy. If there was going to be one in the NFL right now, it would be Mahomes. But I mean, he's had some injuries there too. You gotta factor that in as well.
Yep, I agree completely. Okay, anything else for on Tom Brady?
No, nothing. I mean, that was quite a ride.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I was in college when he started. Yeah, I mean, you pointed out, first Super Bowl, you were in third grade, and now you're covering it. Now you're talking about his retirement on CBS Sports HQ and on the Pick Six podcast. Who could have imagined? I don't think third grade Sully would have been like, oh, you know what? This would be pretty cool.
He's like, all right, that's all right. You know, well, all right.
I mean, shoot, you probably would. Third grade Sully's like, all right, cool, one title. Like, you know, like that's. And it's weird too because, I mean, like I grew up a Duke fan, right? And so I was in 10th grade, and Duke's just ripping off titles, and the Braves won the Super World Series in '95. I was like, this is what you do. Teams just win titles. Like, why would your teams not win titles? Would you choose to lose? As a Patriots fan growing up, it had to have been the same thing. Like, even though
it was the best. You know, not only did I was lucky enough to grow up with the Patriots winning Super Bowls, but I've seen every team that I root for win a championship, and it was spearheaded by Brady, starting off that golden age that we call it in Boston sports. So, I mean, listen, him going out and retiring, Dave Ortiz just getting into the Hall of Fame. It is kind of that ending point for that era. I mean, you know, promising, the Patriots are promising, Belichick's still here and all that stuff. But, you know, that is quite the end of an era in Boston sports, for sure.
Tom Brady officially retires. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Smash that like button. Of course, subscribe. And hit the alert button so you'll, the next time a seven-time Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame quarterback retires, you'll be alerted that we are going live to talk about it. Appreciate you hopping on, Sully, and talk to you soon, man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.